For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Chris Messini, and I'm joined today by Gregory Spatz, the author of three novels and two short story collections, including Wonderful Tricks, which won the 2003 Washington State Book Award. He's the recipient of a Michener Fellowship and an NEA Fellowship, and he directs the MFA in Creative Writing program at Eastern Washington University. In addition to his writing, Greg is also well known as the fiddle player in the Juno-nominated bluegrass band John Reichman and the Jaybirds. His new book, What Could Be Saved, occupies the intersection between these two vocations of writing and music. In a collection of two novellas and two short stories, Spatz explores the intriguing, often intensely emotional world of high-end violins and the people who construct, buy, sell, and play them. These are stories of fathers and sons, love and loss, multi-million dollar forgeries, and centuries-old traditions. He'll be reading from the book at a launch event Saturday, June 1st at the downtown Spokane Public Library. And he joins me now in the Spokane Public Radio studio. Greg Spatz, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for inviting me.
So you've called the form of this book book-matched novellas and stories. It's not quite linked stories or a novel in stories, although characters and objects, violins, do recur throughout the book. So tell me about where this idea of book-matched comes from and how did that form develop?
Well, interestingly, my wife, Caradwyn, she had this idea that she wanted to have a radio show here and call it Book Matched and interview authors who are coming through town and curate some music to go with, that informed the book. And I don't know what happened to that idea. I mean, basically, I think what happened to it was that it would have been such an unpredictable selection of music.
Yeah.
Anyway, it went away, but that word kind of hung around, and this was right around the time that I was starting to think about this book. And she was just getting underway with learning how to build violins. So at first it was just like a pun, stories that match within a book or music that matches with a book. So it would be book-matched music.
And it's a violin or woodworking construction term.
Right, and so it is a woodworking construction term, which basically means if you have a round of wood and you're splitting it like a pie, and then you match two pieces end to end, which is what you do when you're building a violin. You cut these slices of pie, and then you turn them around. So the grain should be exactly the same.
Mirror image.
Yeah, it should be more or less mirror image when you join them. So it's called book matched. So what happened was basically I began the two novellas simultaneously. And I was just sort of casting around for different ideas of a novel. I thought I'd write a novel. And then I began to see that they really went together. And so at that point, that's when I started thinking they're like book-matched pieces of wood in a way. And they're both father-son stories. They both have sort of young narrators, but they're kind of going in opposite directions.
My guest is Greg Spatz, who is the author of What Could Be Saved, a new book which, as you can tell from our discussion, is all about violins and violin builders and obsessions thereof. So thematically, the same kinds of things recur throughout both novellas and the two stories that are in between. Part of it is your descriptions of music, of people playing the violin, which I think is also a really difficult thing to do, is rendering the experience of hearing a piece of music through a completely silent medium like a book. So I'd like to have you read a passage, and then maybe we can talk about the particulars. So this is on page 65.
Sure.
To set this up, this is your character, May, who's a violin student, and she's performing at her senior performance for a guest soloist.
Bow dangling from one finger and violin under an elbow, May faced the glaring stage lights. The brilliant Polonaise she began is an important showpiece, like most of Wieniawski's compositions. I've been playing it for, the better part of 3 months now, and still, I don't think I understand it. So that's also why I chose it. Partly, to understand better because it's such a complicated piece, I think. But mainly, I chose it, I guess, because I wanted a challenge. The corners of her mouth tipped up as she said this, though Paul knew from experience this wasn't a smile to reflect any type of humorousness. It was a dare. It was her pleasure at accepting or declaring the prospect of a dare. Because I guess you could say I like a challenge. And then she was playing. Feet planted firmly shoulder-width, hair in a perfect circle, reflecting light in twinned crescents at either side of her head and partially shrouding her face. There was no nervousness or hesitancy in her attack, and as she forged ahead, bucking the accompanist wherever his fingers tangled and collided in knots of chords and right-hand-over-left-hand jumps that exceeded his ability, blasted on, never missing a beat, Paul fell back in his seat, mesmerized, forgetting even to breathe. Maybe it was the addition of accompaniment, however clumsy and irregular, but for the first time he felt the picture inside the music filled in somehow, made three-dimensional, felt beyond the calisthenics and virtuosic play this because no one can pyrotechniques moving in the heart of the music, something preachy, pompous and preening, yes, vain as hell, yes, but also despairing at its own vanity, at the futility of all vanity and attention-seeking activity, and finally arching past that to something more melancholy and earnest, having to do with how beauty might still, despite the odds and despite constant failure and misunderstanding, despite its own longing for attention, might still stand a chance to say something lasting, to transcend time and place. He was transported, certain this was what had drawn her to the piece in the first place, rapt all the way to the closing measures of harmonics whistling and ringing practically beyond the range of human hearing and spiraling off again hilariously to revisit a final time the main themes and melodies before banging down on the closing double stops with a flourish.
That was my guest Greg Spatz reading from his book What Could Be Saved. And now I want to just play a brief excerpt of that same piece actually being played. And this is towards the end of the piece. I'm going to play that part where it moves to harmonics. Yeah, so that was an excerpt from a violin piece, which is played by a character in Greg Spatz's book. So those two experiences, we get the description of somebody experiencing it and then versus experiencing the piece of music yourself. So how did you try to capture that in the writing?
Well, it made it easier being the observer of the music versus the player, which... I've done that in Fiddler's Dream, which was sort of a challenge to be inside the music as a player and trying to describe what it's like to play and what it sounds like at the same time. And so in this case, my idea was to have people who don't play music but understand it really intimately and closely. So most violin builders don't actually play or don't play well, and yet they make the tools that facilitate it. I think that's really interesting. So that was my angle in. Was basically thinking of how does this sound to someone who can just observe it and has no real investment in trying to do it.
So another recurring event that happens multiple times throughout the book in different stories is a violinist, someone who is a really skilled player and knows violins intimately, picks up a violin and plays it for the first time and within seconds is just enraptured with a particular instrument. So as a violin player yourself, have you had that experience? Is that something that comes from experience?
Sadly, yes. that tends to be what happens is like you pick up an instrument and you will bond with it pretty quickly. You get a sense of it has a sound and the sound obviously mirrors something that you've wanted to hear and haven't heard in your playing to that point. And I think that's why it captivates you so instantly. So, I mean, it's happened to me two notable times that I can think of. Most recently, it happened when Caradwyn finished her fifth violin. And she happened to get done with it on my birthday, my 55th birthday. And it was destined to belong to someone else, and I picked it up and played it really literally for about 3 or 4 minutes before we were going to take off and go for a walk. And I said, there's no way in the world you can sell this violin. You just can't sell this violin. It is too amazing. And someone else may pick it up and not even really like it that much.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing about how an instrument will sort of fit a certain sound that you're looking for. But, you know, and in this case, she's made a handful of violins, and I've played them, I've liked them, but nothing's really hit me that way. Hmm. And so I felt bad saying that because, you know, she wanted to sell it and there's someone who's waiting for it.
So did she sell it?
No, we kept it. Well, we kept it, and it's interesting because our friend Morgan Anderson, who's a world famous bow maker, came over and he looked at it too. He hadn't seen it since she'd finished it, and he looked at it and he said, basically, you can't sell this violin. Hmm. You've hit a new level with your building. Hmm. And you know what I always tell people when they're building stuff is, you know, when you hit that new level, you don't sell the instrument until you know you can do it again, because you need to keep it around as a reminder of what you can do and as a model. Hmm. And
so that's like, convenient.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Very convenient. Thank you, Morgan. So, I mean, she was going to probably, you know, so she's working on another one for me.
So the client has to wait.
Yes, the client has to wait.
Well, my guest has been Greg Spatz. He is the author of a new book, collection of novellas and short stories called What Could Be Saved. He'll be hosting a book launch event along with author John Keeble on Saturday, June 1st, 7 p.m. at the downtown Spokane Public Library. Greg, thanks for being with me.
Thanks very much for inviting me.